Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
Should we start with the cheers?
Well, yeah, sure. Cheers.
Cheers, fellas.
To us.
Tuesday at 3 p.m. Yeah. What a great time to start.
Let's go, boys.
Howdy, howdy, folks. Welcome back to Hoot and a Half. I'm your host, Matt King.
Joined with Mike Sheffer.
Mike Sheffer. And today we are joined with the one and only Young Gravy, a.k.a. Young Gravity, Mr. Butter. Mr. Butter's Worth. What's the new one on Wikipedia? Clancy Brett.
Oh, no. Somebody... Yo, that's actually funny. So, first of all, I'm also named Matt. Hello, I'm Young Gravy.
Great name.
Thank you. Somebody just added that to Wikipedia casually, and I think it's like someone's big like internet hustle, like finesse. Like they did that. They added. Okay, so this is on Wikipedia under my like, AKA names. They have all these listed. One of them's Clancy Brett, and I just like I tried to look it up. There's no connection to anything. It's not a real name. No one exists named Clancy Brett. And they added like some like high school in Australia that I went to. Just like some, I think someone just went in and just did that.
Just Wikipedia vandalism on your page.
Yeah, but I thought it was kind of tight, so I just have left it for like 3 years.
It's wild how anybody can just go on there and just start making shit up. But then at the same time, if you go in and try to add stuff for yourself, it like knows and is like, no.
Yeah, they can tell when it's you doing it. Because you have to like get credits on Wikipedia to like be an editor on bigger and bigger articles. So someone, this must be someone's hustle to be like.
There's very few people that can edit mine, I know that. Because I've tried to find them before and it's like. I've had to like go through multiple people to like get there because like you can attempt to edit it, but like there's like only a certain amount of people like whatever my sort of article was like ranked or whatever. It's like you have to have a certain level.
So you can't even edit your own Wikipedia.
No, I mean I'm sure that there's some way I could like get someone to reach out maybe and do it, but like yeah, I've tried before and there's little things where I'll have to like call someone up to change it. I had a guy. This kid from Johns Hopkins, I don't know what he's doing now, but...
This is great. I'm glad we're finally hanging out. We've been meaning to make this happen for a long time. And you're such a nice guy, man.
Thank you.
It's really great. Do you know what the name Matt means?
Gift or something?
Yeah, gift of God.
Gift of God, yeah.
That's how it is, man. And then, my grandpa used to call me Matt-Man.
Matt-Man.
That's now hard. It's Matt the Rat he gets called. But
yeah, I get that a lot.
We're trying to squash that one.
I know, we're trying... I need to stop.
Okay, well... Today was the last day of Matt the Rat.
Oh, no, absolutely. And but also another like name thing that we do have in common, and I know that you got a thing for the moms, right? You love the MILFs. You love all of that. But I think, though, like my mom would be off limits because both of our moms had the same name.
Oh, did we figure that out, too?
I think we may have talked about that when we were together, but I wanted to bring it back up.
I feel like I would remember that, yeah. Maybe you looked it up or something. I don't know. That's crazy.
Your mom's name is Cynthia.
Yeah.
She go by Cindy?
Both, but yeah, usually.
Now, my question is, would you ever date a girl who had the same name as your mom?
No.
No, not at all?
I've totally, like, avoided it. I've had girls that, like, were cute and, like, were interested back in the day that I, like, thought about. But when I was like, it's Cindy, I don't know. Can't
do it. Bummer. I know, that's it. I don't think I ever could. Unless she went by Cynthia, I maybe could get behind it. But she could be like, I don't like Cindy at all. Because my mom doesn't go by Cynthia that
much.
My
mom does both, like both all the time.
So it's two names that are basically off limits for you now.
Yeah,
pretty much. Do you have any sisters that would be off limits too for names?
No sisters. Okay. Well, I have a half sister named Heidi, but I've been with a Heidi before, so I already ruined that one. I try not to think about it. And then my other, actually my other sister's name is Catherine, and I had two girlfriends named Catherine. So
okay. Oh damn.
So
okay.
Just Cindy's off limits.
They were spelled differently, and I don't really know them that well. And you know.
One-offs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh no. My sisters are not one-off. My sisters have been
no,
half
know.
Sisters. I don't know the sisters that well because they're half siblings and didn't live with me growing up.
Oh,
but,
I see. Okay.
But I actually dated a girl for like 2 years with that name. Yeah.
And it wasn't weird.
It wasn't. Well, it was spelled differently. Okay. I don't know. I didn't think about it at all. Really.
I guess when it's spelled differently, it like sits in your head a little differently.
My brother's name is Sam. So I don't have any sisters, but my brother's name is Sam. And if I meet a girl and she tells me her name is Sam, I'm just like. Off the list.
What about your mom's name?
Melissa. I've never really met another girl named Melissa, too. I feel like that's kind of a...
It's not that common.
Not as common. It's like something like Jennifer, or like Laura. Yeah. Or something.
Well, she went by Missy.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
A lot of girls with the name Melissa go by Missy.
I'm Missy.
You like the name Missy?
I like that. Yeah, it's cute.
It's a very cute name.
Yeah.
I just knew a girl named Missy who was like crazy, and I think she kind of ruined that name for me back in college. But you know,
anything like Missy or Misty or Mitzi, all that stuff. It's kind of cute.
Yeah, you know? I think so too.
Just like anime character names.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was Misty who was on Pokemon, right?
Yes, Misty was the.
But her and Ash never hooked up, right?
One of my her and Brock. I don't know. She was one of my crushes back in the day. I know that much.
Oh, she was on that Brock cock for sure.
Brock cock, yeah.
Precisely. But then again, I think they were all like 11 and 12 years old. Like
Pokemon people?
Yeah.
No, I think they're like teenagers, right?
He was trying to hit on... Brock was always trying to get with the nurse, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah. He always flipped out when she was in the room.
Yeah, I think they were of age. I hope. I don't know if I ever...
We'll review the footage and cut it out of it.
Yeah.
If we're treading on.
And, Gravy, you're from Minnesota.
Minnesota.
I love Minnesota. I've wanted to go to... But I've never been. I think everybody from Minnesota is like good people.
Yeah, I think I agree with that, honestly. Like, not in a cocky way, but there's so many nice people from Minnesota, Wisconsin, like the Midwest, like especially that part. Good people.
What do you think it is?
It's like, I don't know, man. It's just like, it's just the culture. It's like, you know, in New York, I don't know if there's something specific about New York that makes people kind of dicks, or like Paris that makes people dicks, but like, it's just people. If everyone your whole life greets you with a hi when you walk by, then you start doing it too.
Damn. I know. I always I did a lot of speech and debate in high school, and the kids from Minnesota always rolled through, and they were just top tier. They had their shit down. Incredible speakers and performers. They were so well rehearsed. I always felt like it was just because of the weather there. Like around the winter, they just spend more time indoors and just focused on their craft.
It's true, and it was before they were like drinking age. Because now that like when people get to drinking age in Minnesota, Wisconsin, it's like when it gets cold, you just drink because there's nothing else to do.
Right.
But back then, it was like, oh, let's study. There's like smart people in Minnesota for sure.
Oh, I know absolutely.
That it's got a really high like average. I don't know.
Is the Mall of America overrated or underrated?
I don't know. I don't really go that much. You know, if you live in Minnesota, you don't really go to the Mall of America unless you need like. Get some specific ass thing, but I don't know. The rides are pretty. It's pretty cool to have an indoor. So if anyone doesn't know, it's a giant mall in Minnesota. I don't know why they picked Minnesota, like the biggest mall in America, and they have a giant like theme park inside with rides and everything. It was Camp Snoopy at one point, and then it was like Cartoon Land, and then now it's like Nickelodeon Network. Or something.
What's your like top ride though that I should check out if I ever go?
It was called the Mighty Axe, I think. It's like this big thing that spins around, then you spin, it's lit. It was like you had to be a badass to go on it as a kid.
I'll check it out.
But
you
yeah.
mentioned in an interview that like where some guy was like, oh, you're from Minnesota, everyone there, like, I bet you've chopped down a tree, and you're like, nah, I haven't chopped down a tree, but you've gotten frostbite before. Where did you get frostbite at?
My face.
Your face?
Yeah, I've gotten frostbite. Like
when and where? Tell me. Well, like, how'd this happen?
Just as a kid, we'd always go fuck around in the snow, go sledding, go like, you know, snowball fights are popping out there, but it gets really cold. Like it gets down to like negative 30. We'd have cold days more than we'd have snow days, where like if it's under negative 30, you don't have to go to school.
Shit. I didn't know that existed. Did y'all have that in Jersey?
I've never heard that. No, in Jersey it's snow days, but they would call it a cold day.
A cold day, yeah.
If you like listen to the radio or... Get on the internet first thing in the morning.
Whatever it is, you get a call or I don't even remember how that worked, but or on TV I think, but I don't know many states that probably would have that because I think it's got to be a federal thing of like negative 30. Well, I guess if like in like a New Jersey, if it got down to negative like 15, people would be freaking out, right?
Yeah, that would be like the apocalypse.
Yeah,
that's too cold. It doesn't really get down below zero, but negative 30 is like. Yeah, can't you like die in that?
You can die, yeah, like if you were just outside for long enough, yeah.
Jesus.
But your face looks fine. Like, how did you recover from the frostbite?
You can get frostbite that's not like crazy bad. Like frostbite, there's like levels. The thing is that when you get it once, it's easier to get it again and again and again. Mm-hmm. So like every year, I would like start getting it like pretty quick. And I had to like this is like when I was a kid, like between like, you know, 10 and 15 or something. So eventually I just had to stop going outside in the winter. Like a little bit, or wear like masks and whatnot.
Oh, hot damn.
I was a skier kid too, so like if you ski on a really cold day and then the wind's hitting you, it's pretty rough.
Damn.
A little better out here in sunny California, huh?
Yeah. Honestly, the weather's, even in the summer, I mean, like when I was just in Minnesota like a week ago, it was like 90 something, super humid. Get back here, it's just chill. It's like 70 something.
Well, I know you've talked about a lot about this, like the origin of Young Gravy, how it came from you spending a lot of time when you were freestyling, working at a summer camp. Is that right?
Yep.
And I guess, like, my question for you is, like, the freestyling with your friends, was everybody in the group already freestyling, and then you were, like, hopping in as, like, a way to, like, survive and keep up with them, or did you just like the self-expression of it?
I think every like, I don't know. Where are you from again?
I'm from Texas. Yeah, Texas. Suburbs of Dallas.
I guess, okay. Maybe, like, it's a sort of suburban or small town thing, or I don't know. I feel like every, like, were you a stoner kid growing up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
I think maybe it's a stoner thing. Every like, group of friends that were, like, high school goons that would, like, the fuck off group definitely had, like, a phase of freestyling. It's just too common, man. And I don't know. I don't know how it started, but, like, we all listened to rap music, and we would just, like, it would just be, like, my really good friends, either the kids I worked with at summer camp or some of the kids that I, like, lived with or hung out with in Rochester, where I'm from. But, man, it was just, like, I don't know. Like, it wasn't animosity. Like, you pass it off. It was a good time. You'd, like, switch back and forth, like, help each other out, get really hyped up.
They're in Minnesota. They're all being nice to each other.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I know. I wanted to think it was just them going at it. What instrumentals were, like, your favorite to, like, rap over? Did you guys have a favorite, or were you switching it up, like, as much as you could?
We'd usually do, like, some, like, happy, like, vibey shit. Like, I had all these, like, beats I'd found deep on the internet. It's like kind of a start of, like, when I was getting into music and getting interested. I have, like, crazy, like, kind of like my beats now. I could be sampling, like, some, like, cheerful shit, or like we always rapped on Pass the Dutchie by Young Money.
That's
a go-to.
Uh-huh.
Or we just rap on, like, the randomest shit, like some old funk music, and make it work.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I wish we did that. We were just rapping over, like, instrumentals from, like, the Carter 3 a lot. Like, a lot of, like, 6 foot, 7 foot. Lit. Also Ransom with Lil Wayne and Drake, but that beat, I loved it. And then but did you ever, like, at one point start, like, a rap group with your friends, like, jokingly at all? Or did you immediately, like, once you hit it, you're like, all right, I'm gonna try committing to this, like, solo?
Yeah, it was kind of like that's a good question. I never actually been asked that. There was one homie of mine that I worked with who was really good at rapping. His name's Chase, and we went by Gravy and Heavy Creamer. You know, that was, Heavy Creamer was, like, his rap name, like, at summer camp. But it got to a point where, like all the counselors would, like, hang out on the weekends when the kids are gone and, like, party. Like, I don't want to give too many details, but, like, sometimes they just make us get up and freestyle for everybody because, like, it, like, just, you know, it was
you
a good time.
You could do it. It's entertaining. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just, for, like, fun. So me and him were, like, the two that were, like, the best or whatever. And at one point, I mean, this is probably, like, 2 or 3 years later when I finally started thinking about taking it seriously. When I was in college, I hadn't worked there for years. I was too old. I, like, hit him up at one point, and I was like, bro, I know, like, you're good at rapping. But he was busy with some other shit at the college he went to. But I never really thought about making a group or anything with anybody. I wanted to be solo. And, like, for the first, like, basically year that I was rapping, I didn't, like, tell anybody about it, other than, like, my roommates that I lived with.
Uh-huh. Like, a little secret.
Even my good friends. Because I didn't want to be that guy that'd be like, oh, yo, listen to my music, check this out. Or be like, you know, have send it to someone and have it suck and have them, like, try to lie to me and say it's good or something.
Yeah.
Because you didn't show your face online for, like, a year and a half, right? Until after you uploaded your first stuff.
For, like, a year and a half, just about. That was when I uploaded the Mr. Clean video, which was, like, a face reveal whole thing. And didn't show my face for the first little bit. And then everyone kind of...
Did your parents know?
No.
Or you didn't tell anybody?
No, nobody. I mean, there was one of my best friends, Vaughn, who I ended up, like, bringing into the music industry, and we still are tight today. At one point, I think I ended up telling him, I sent him a link, and I was like, yo, like, check this out. Like, I found this rapper, it's wild. And he, like, listened to it. Like I acted like it wasn't me, but, like, he ended up figuring it out, and...
How fast? Like, oh, you just sent him the link.
I sent him a link to some Young Gravy, but there's no pictures
or
anything.
He found this cool underground rapper.
I had a buddy of mine in college who was like, yeah, I would say, like, he was like a bit of like a hobby rapper. He would had made a couple beats, but at parties he would play it and I'd be like, what do you think of this guy? And I remember the one time he was playing it, I was like, it's pretty good. He needs to work on making it a little bit tighter, and some of the lyric choices are off. He's like, dude, it's me. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Talkspace.
When it comes to therapy and psychiatry, getting the help you need has never been so simple. When you're able to access your provider from the comfort of your device, it means therapy can be on your schedule. And alleviating the wait times to get an appointment or the travel time to an office can free up time for the rest of your life. Talkspace is so convenient and accessible, it helps me feel supported around the clock.
Talkspace lets you send and receive unlimited messages with your dedicated therapist on the Talkspace platform 24/7. With Talkspace, you set goals with your therapist and they hold you accountable to make sure you're really progressing. Therapy can help you shift your perspective, find tools to cope in difficult times, and be a guiding light. We fully encourage therapy. It's a great way to talk through some things you're thinking about, maybe even some things you're not thinking about. Therapy is something we highly recommend for everybody. So please, if you're in need, check out Talkspace.
And one thing I love about Talkspace is how affordable it is. Talkspace is a fraction of the cost of in-person therapy. Instead of waiting for an appointment, you can send unlimited messages to your therapist 24/7, and they'll engage with you daily, 5 days a week.
Talkspace is also secure and private, using the latest end-to-end bank-grade encryption technology to store client information and complying with the latest HIPAA regulations.
As a listener of this podcast, you'll get $100 off your first month with Talkspace. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com. Make sure to use the code HH to get $100 off your first month and show your support of the show. That's HH at Talkspace.com. And now back to the episode.
Did you ever hit the mic at all when you were younger?
I used to freestyle in college.
You can freestyle pretty wicked.
And like, it's been a while since I did it, but it's like growing up, you're right. Everyone has that like freestyle.
Everyone has like their like little trick that they do, where like mine is I would always think of something like clever about the person that I was rapping in front of, but come up with like a little placeholder for the first line.
That's how you got to do it. Yeah. You got to be three steps ahead of the punchline. Do you still freestyle or have you sort of given up that?
It's weird.
Part of
you? I try not. I mean, I don't try not to. I'll freestyle for like when I'm writing music. But honestly, I think like if I was just had to go on the spot and freestyle something off the dome, like, I honestly think I'm probably less good now at that.
It's a skill.
My whole like sort of like writing process is mad different. I'm like focused on writing music and it's like it's way different. So I don't know. I think I would either start getting into like rhymes that I've put into actual songs and then like be afraid to like start using the same rhymes and like
right. It's a different skill set to learn how to freestyle and like to keep that muscle sharp. You got to be doing it constantly.
Yeah, because you're really big about the rhymes in between like the lyrics. It's not, you're not doing that AABB like quick
rhyme. Matt likes to freestyle like your standard.
Like, I'm here to make you laugh. We're on a podcast called Hoot and a Half.
Yeah, like, that's what I call the Dr. Seuss rhyme scheme always. Yeah. It's just like very clean. But then there's like internal rhymes you can get and like things where you put like A, B, B, A, and kind
of,
you know.
Because when I'm actually writing music, I like to go really crazy with it. Not everyone notices because like a lot of my fans aren't just like super, you know, like tapped in with all the different sort of facets of rap. But I'll do like, sometimes I'll go for like 7-syllable rhymes where like everything rhymes like a full long-ass word and another long-ass word. And like do all these little, I don't know. I've always been into like sort of that lyrical stuff. But like I don't want to be on the like, you know, crazy NF style like lyrical spherical shit, so like
I'll like just the Aesop Rock and like the Pop Underground
that's like it's at that point it's not even as fun to listen to in my opinion, but I'll definitely throw in like every bar has sort of some sort of meaning that like, you know, it's more than just me saying
you want it to be easy enough to listen to but not complicated enough that you need to fucking whip out a thesaurus and a dictionary to like understand what the guy's talking about.
Do you know all of your old stuff like at the top of your head? Like, do you have like old like rhymes that you've known that like used to like spit when you were like in college or in high school and all of that?
I don't know, man.
I'm not asking you to say it, but like sometimes it's a little nostalgic one. You'll mutter to yourself one day. You're like, oh,
I can't think.
Young Gravy.
I probably ended up putting them into songs and then just forgetting about them or something. Yeah. I mean, now that I've probably written like, I got to be getting close to 100 songs like that I've recorded and put out, and man, I guarantee you. Probably like I feel like people are surprised by this a lot, but I think it's true for all artists. I bet you more than half my catalog, if someone threw it on and I had to perform it right now, I couldn't tell what the words are.
You think you're at 50% of the full catalog? 50% locked in. Yeah. I mean, you could rehearse it and relearn.
Yeah,
but
I could relearn, and I do it before every tour. I'll relearn some songs. I mean, there's a solid 20 something that I'll never forget because I hear them all the time or I perform them so many times. But like, yeah, I mean, especially like if it would be like the second verse or something like that, where like you don't always perform the second verse. So like, dude, the songs where I hear it, I'm like, damn, I snapped. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, have you ever like reread some of your lyrics and like, damn, I'm fucking good. Like, yeah. You're just like stoked on your own shit.
All the time, bro.
Do you ever go on Rap Genius and you read like what other people are saying the meaning of your lyrics are? And you're like, I didn't even mean that. But sure, if they want to think that that's what it was.
Bro, I love it because there'll be like scholars in there that'll go deep and they'll find like references to like, dude, like the craziest little things. Like one example I remember really clearly where my friend used to drive a Hyundai Veloster, right? That like it was his mom's Hyundai. This is when we were like, we just have this inside joke where we call this car the Velociraptor. And then I put a bar in a song, which is now gone because I got sued for it. I could explain that later, but I had a bar where I said I pull up in the white Velociraptor, and someone went on there and literally was like commenting like, I believe he's referring to the Hyundai Veloster that he's been seen in on Instagram stories with his friend. And it was like,
whoa,
it was the most like inside joke bar drop that I'd ever put out there. Like just to like show love to my friend. And then someone was like, yeah, I've seen like the 3-door car in his post before. I've like, you could tell from the interior. I was like, man, this is a super fan.
Do people investigate, man? That's some true investigative journalism. Were you ever a fan of anybody to that degree?
Like, no. That's the thing. Is like I've thought about myself as being like a huge like fan of multiple artists. Like I think at one point Action Bronson and Young Thug at one point, and like thinking about like, oh, like one time I like DM'd Action Bronson trying to like show love, and then I'll look at like fucking like how many DMs I get in an hour. I'm like, damn, people. I mean, I'm sure the culture's kind of changed a lot where people want to like, you know, social media is so much more prevalent now, but like. Yeah, I've never been nearly that big of a fan of anybody.
You were never on message boards for like a band or a rapper, like no. Created fan accounts and posting
yeah,
edits and stuff.
I don't know if I ever would have gone to a meet and greet or anything. I guess like maybe I wasn't a big enough fan of some artists. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I was a bit like on the Kid Cudi like fan forums a lot. I would
on
really,
the forums?
Yeah, I didn't participate, but I was actively following it. And I followed like a lot of email chains to see like what he was up to and anything that he was touching. But like meet and greets, I mean, this dude, I went to like the Nice Kick store over in West Campus. I went to meet Macklemore.
Really? Damn.
I know. A big cringe, but I really liked Macklemore during that time. And it was before, what was his big album? Like The Heist.
Yeah.
Was it that
Thrift
album?
Thrift Shop was the song that did everything. Dude, I kind of wish I would have been a bigger fan of artists. Because like seeing some of the meet and greets I do, like, bro, I like tear up sometimes. There's some really wholesome moments. Like some fans are like so hardcore. Like I'd say almost like, I don't know, probably like once per meet and greet. I do 100 every show. At least once a meet and greet, there'll be someone who like is like, yo, can you sign this so I can get it tattooed?
I saw on the Young Gravy Reddit page, you signed an inhaler.
Yeah. Dude, I've signed so many random things, but it's just like people think of anything to get signed, bro. I've signed like a birth certificate, a Quran, man. I signed like, some weird things, dude.
Shit. When you make music, you can like, for some people, it literally saves their lives. Like they can't get through life and they just hear something that just connects with them. And then they meet you in person and it's like,
yeah,
it's almost overwhelming.
Dude, it is, but it's awesome. Like those are like some of my favorite moments. It's like my favorite part about touring.
So what is a Young Gravy tour like from the perspective of Young Gravy? Like, how do you like to tour? Who do you like to bring? Are you drinking post show? Are you like very zen about it? Do you have post show? Like, what's your whole ritual of touring?
Wow, I like this question too. It's a lot that goes into it, man. It's got a main crew. I got my tour manager who's Puya's older brother. If you guys know Puya the rapper,
mm-hmm.
His name's Andrew. He's great. Been working for a few years. Tip is my DJ. They started around the same time, and we've done hundreds of shows together. Had a few different camera guys, but I almost always will have a camera guy with me.
You're always recording your shows.
Yeah, always got someone recording the shows and like the behind the scenes stuff. Right now it's this kid Kale Brown. He's like a dancer on TikTok, but I met him and he's just like, he's good. So shout out to him. And our sound guy Malik. Usually it's a crew of like 4 or 5. But that's if we're doing college shows or like traveling, flying. Like when we're in Europe, that's what it was. But if we're like on like a U.S. tour where we can have a tour bus. It's a little bit bigger production because we can bring like a video wall and stuff. So when I toured with Dylan Francis recently, man, it was like his tour bus had 12 people on it. Mine had 7. And then we had a semi with like all the production in it. So it was like a big thing. And it was great, man. Like I love all those different types of touring.
Do you have a pre-show ritual or a post-show ritual?
I do. post show, like it depends. I don't usually drink after the show because I usually do drink at least a little bit before the show, and I mean, I don't know, depends on who's there.
What are we drinking?
Usually, so on the rider, it's usually, for the longest time, for years, the bottle I would ask for was Bombay Sapphire, and nobody really liked it, and I felt bad because I was in this phase where I was just into that shit.
It's a classy gin.
It's decent, but no one really likes gin.
How did you drink it?
I just pulls.
Straight out of the bottle?
Pulls, yeah. I'm just I don't know, I'm a pull and chase guy, and you know, we'd have like, you know, sugar, like Celsius, usually sometimes sugar-free. Energy drink in there. We'd always have like a bunch of water. I get a bathrobe on there for like, you know, for part of the show.
Yeah.
A lot of little things, but I switched to whiskey more recently. Johnny Walker Black Label is kind of the go-to.
Put some hair in your chest.
Yeah. And a lot of the more people will get down with that. But yeah, man, pre-show, usually, I mean, there's we'll do meet and greet about an hour before doors. So like after, let's say, like 5 p.m., usually the whole rest of the day is kind of like set with the show. Like you're doing the show. You arrive in town on a tour bus. I'll go through like an American show.
Walk
day.
Us through the day. Walk yeah. us through the day.
So you sleep on a tour bus with all your boys. I have my own little room in the back, which is kind of nice, and I need it because the bunks are too short for me. So I have a little room in the back with a queen bed.
You're what, 5'9", 5'10"?
So I think they'd fix they'd fit someone who's like 6'5" in them, but I'm a little bit above that. So I got my own spot in the back, and I got all my clothes and everything. It's like a little room, and then usually you arrive in town, whatever the next city is, like between like 10 and 12. The crew will go in and start setting everything up, like the video wall and all the audio and everything. And like me and like the kind of performers get to chill for a while. Usually we'll go like try to find the best restaurant in town or like link up with whoever it is. Because I've toured a lot now, and so I usually have some pretty good friends in most towns. So
yeah, you've been to every city at this point multiple times.
Most all the big cities for sure. And like we did like a Sea Market tour recently, where we're doing like Bozeman, Montana, Spokane, Washington.
Oh, yeah.
What were we doing? We did Lubbock, Texas. It's some smaller places down
in your Texas hood. Tech crowd.
Yeah, down in your hood, some littler spots. And so, yeah, hang out with whoever, you know, go get dinner. And then come like 5 or 6, do a meet and greet, usually 100 people. What I used to do, I kind of changed up my style a little bit on this, but there was a while where I was really, people asked me about this a lot because I told a story once in an interview, but I got really into DMT at one point, and I would do DMT. I would meditate and then hit DMT right before meet and greet.
Holy shit.
Which was like, it sounds crazy.
But actually, I feel like it's a kind of a nice way to come down into a meet and greet, because yeah. you feel way more centered. Because I do get a little anxious whenever I do meet and greets, because you are trying to be your most authentic version of yourself. You want every moment to be sincere for each person.
Exactly.
But it's happening right after another, and you feel like, I don't know, you're just, being this cookie cutter moment of yourself, but you want to be unique every time.
And I'm always trying to make it like longer, but there's like with each person, but there's like a specific amount of time. So my tour manager will be like, you know, pushing back on it or whatever. But if you've done DMT, like it'll be, you're kind of in like a slight little afterglow thing. I think it was just because I wanted to get rid of the DMT and it became a tradition. So I was doing it right then. But meditating before it always helps because it gets you really relaxed. Maybe have like one drink. Or sometimes I just bring one to the table when I do my meet and greet. That takes about an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And then, you know, you kind of just got like some time to chill. Well, like my DJ does a different set every show based on like where we are. We'll bring in like local like anthems and whatnot. Or whatever. If it's a college, we'll play like their type of, you know, traditions. So there's some time to just chill, and then I'll drink a little more. I'd say on average I'd do like 3 to 5 drinks before a show. I used to drink a lot more before shows, and I would like be fucking, man, like there's a lot of old tour videos of me just like, I don't know about videos that are out there, but just like there's a lot of shows where afterwards I'd be like, damn, I was probably a little bit embarrassed.
Yeah, they're just like, you're like Elvis, yeah. just dragging you.
So I got over that, and I'm a big guy, so I mean 3 to 5 drinks, I'm still, you know, completely in business mode.
It's like a thimble of alcohol for normal sized people.
So then I usually perform about an hour and a half. The set I used to literally, so my first tour, I'm telling you, was way different. I brought my homie as tour manager because we didn't know how to do it, and I didn't think you actually needed someone official to do it. Mm-hmm. I brought my main producer as DJ, who, I mean, he figured it out, and he was great at it, and a good camera guy, but, like, we were all kind of winging it, didn't ask anyone for advice. So my first tour, we were all getting drunk, all four of us that are, like,
working.
Yeah, all working and getting drunk, and the merch guy. And then,
I ordered a large.
And then we would just, like, I don't know, we'd break rules that we didn't know were there at the venue. So after my first couple tours, they were like, when I got a new tour manager, he was like, man, I have access to Live Nation emails. These people don't fuck with you. Like, they always send warnings. They're like, oh, Young Gravy's going to pour milk on the crowd. Young Gravy's going to be, like, slurring his words. All this, like, it wasn't always, like, a shit show, but it would be like, there'd at least be something that would piss them off, or they just didn't end up wanting to tell me.
There were notes on the Young Gravy account for the tour bookers.
Yeah, and luckily I've turned it completely around. And, like, actually last year I was the number one most booked artist at colleges.
Damn!
Yeah. At universities, that's, like, kind of my main hustle.
Who was number two?
I think Waka Flocka might have been number two.
probably Waka Flocka. That makes sense.
And we did a few together.
Hey, yeah. There you
definitely
go.
College kids know what they want. So yeah, man, I, a couple drinks, but back to the night of the show, I performed for about an hour and a half, the set. Oh, here's what I was getting at. My set, I used to just wing it. We would just, every song I perform it. And then I'd be like, yo, you know what I'm feeling? Play this. And that was like, yeah, you know, it didn't really always work out right. I'd forget like a hit sometimes and people would be pissed. I'm like, damn. So now we have, like, a general outline, and then there's, like, four or five that we sometimes switch up, and, like, different little things we'll do. And then I have banter that's kind of like in between songs, that's kind of like streamlined a little bit, like a general gist of it. But
you got your little stand up set written out.
Almost. Yeah. It's like I have a general idea of what I'm going to say. Like, I'll know what song's coming next, and, like, depending on where I'm at, kind of, you know, go
have off. Some jokes just not landed sometimes, and you're like, shit.
I don't really. Yeah. Luckily, it's like, I mean, if I'm at, like, I'll do it way differently if I'm at, like, a festival or something where I don't, they're not all fans. But if it's, like, my show, I kind of have a cult fan base. So, like, a lot of things that I say, they'll know exactly what I'm referring to, or they'll just love me and be happy that I said anything, yeah, which is awesome. So at those shows, I just, you know, it's more fun to do my own shit because I can just be myself completely and fuck around.
Right.
How did you first link up with Dylan Francis? Because we've known Dylan for a while. And
long
he's, like,
time.
The best dude. Super nice. Obviously incredible at what he does. What was that relationship? How did that start?
I don't know exactly where I first met. It might have been through, like, Trevor Wallace or something. You guys know Trevor Wallace?
Yeah.
So him and I became good friends, and I brought him out of my shows, and he's brought me out of his shows, and we just, you know, do some sketches and stuff. And I think that he was just with Dylan one day before, like he was doing something with Dylan, shooting something, and I just met Dylan briefly through him, and we got along super well. I was like, man, this is dope. I've known of him since he dropped that song, like, I Don't Give a Fuck or Shit. Back
oh, IDGAFAOS.
I remember finding that on, like, goodmusicallday.com.
Same here.
Yeah.
Same here. That? I think I found mine on Hype Machine, but, like, it was right around the time where those music blogs.
Yeah, one of those websites, man, back in high school. And I was like, damn, dude, this guy's a legend. Like, this would be sick to work. And we got along really well. I realized we both do a lot of the same, like, sort of colleges, overall, like, similar fan base. And so we have, like, my manager and his manager are tight, so we just were like, yo, it's like, think about doing something, and then it worked out really well.
I think I cried in front of Dylan Francis last time I was with him.
Why? Yeah.
Because he did this prank on me where he gave me, you know, those, like, pool triangles, like the ones where you put around the...
I was there that day, yeah.
Yeah, and I...
like the pool, the thing that you rack up the pools, the pool balls.
Took me a second, but yeah.
Yeah, so Heath knew of this trick, and never do this to a friend, because they may cry. You're supposed to, like, put your hands in it and twirl it back around on the other side.
Like, you put your hands through the little pool rack.
Okay.
Like, your hands are in the triangle, and it's and you then try you... and invert the triangle.
Like that.
Yeah.
But if you know how to do it, you know to do it really far away from your face. But most people who do it right in front of it. And it went up and it whacked me on my nose so hard. Like, it was It hurt a lot.
I'm just going to cry again.
But I also, anytime, you know, whenever you were like hit like with a basketball on the nose.
If it's in the nose, you cry.
It's an instant tear spot.
Yeah, it does.
So
that.
It was a combination of those tears. And then I was about to go meet my girlfriend's like parents for the first time. And I was convinced I was going to have this huge bruised up nose and teeth.
This is the day I'm meeting my girlfriend's parents and you did this. And he was so upset.
And it was just a combination of all of that stress. And on top of my nose being
it wasn't broken hit. It was okay,
it wasn't hit, and I just sat there crying until Francis, I remember, was like so concerned, but he was holding back laughing and he's just like, it's gonna be okay, man. I'm like, I don't know. Think of Bill Francis, I always think of that memory. Other questions I have, because we've gone through already a lot and want to enjoy the time that we have here. Your new song, Betty, it's doing so great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You are just racking up so many views and listens.
And you are like the guy on TikTok now. Like your sound is like, is it the number one sound on TikTok right now?
I think so, yeah.
Over like 100 million videos or something?
Yeah, it's just a stupid amount of videos. It's crazy.
We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Audible.
Audible. It's one of my favorite apps. I would say that Audible should be one of my most used apps, but because I'm not on the screen and I'm using it all the time.
It doesn't show like the screen time, but you're still using it.
But if there was a screen time on it, Audible would be my top used app, if that makes sense.
Maybe not screen time, but listen time.
Absolutely. I'm always listening to Audible. I love audiobooks, and we love that Audible is a proud sponsor of the Hoot and a Half podcast. So if you're like us, you may have a busy schedule, you're always on the go, and you don't have time to do the things you really enjoy, like reading. And that's why we love Audible. Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre, from bestsellers and new releases to celebrity memoirs, mysteries and thrillers, motivation, wellness, business, and more.
You'll discover exclusive Audible originals from top celebrities, renowned experts, and exciting new voices in audio.
As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. All Audible members get access to a growing selection of audiobooks, Audible originals, and podcasts that are included with the membership. You can listen to all you want and get more added every month.
And we're always using the Audible app, whether we're on a flight, working out at home, just making breakfast. You can play it on your phone, computer, speakers, headphones, whatever way you want to listen, Audible has you covered.
So let Audible help you discover new ways to laugh, be inspired, or be entertained. New members can try it out for free for 30 days. So just visit audible.com/hoot or text hoot to 500-500.
That's audible.com/hoot or text hoot, H-O-O-T, to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. audible.com/hoot. We'd like to thank another sponsor of today's episode, Casetify.
You know, Mike, there are certain things in my life that I like to drop. I like to drop some beats whenever I'm having some friends over for a party. I like dropping episodes for you guys, our viewers, our listeners. But the one thing I hate to drop is my phone.
Well, you're in luck, Matt, because Casetify puts protection, sustainability, and style all together in their cases. And they actually sent us quite a few cases to try out. We have these custom ones that say Hoot and a Half on them. We'll show you a nice close-up. So
this is a fun one of a giant broccoli attacking a city and this little girl running away from it.
And we have a few more in here. Casetify is truly the best case for your phone. Their Ultra Impact Crush cases are one of its most protective cases, engineered with innovative shock absorption patented technology.
And these cases are up to 9.8 feet drop proof.
So you can drop it from way up here, even taller than our good guess the Young Gravy is. You could drop it from even taller than he is and you'll be good.
Every detail is fine-tuned, optimal to 360 degree protection, and it has an ultra slim style.
You barely even tell there's a case on there. Truly, when you put a Casetify case on your phone, it feels in your hand as if there's barely a case, but you do get the protection and the peace of mind knowing that your phone is protected.
And they have their signature camera ring, which you see all over Instagram from mirror selfies. And it's designed to not just look good, but also to protect your precious camera lens.
Not to mention their cases are super eco-friendly. Their crush cases are actually made from 65% recycled and plant-based materials.
Interestingly, their crush cases are part of old phone cases that have been shredded and repurposed, which is reflected in its unique speckled look for the protection bumper.
We stan sustainability.
Absolutely. And we stand Caseify.
And if that is not enough, they have tons and tons of prints and designs you can choose from. And if you still can't find the one, you can always design your own customized phone case. The options are truly endless. It's perfect for yourself and perfect as a gift too. So who doesn't love a sweet, personalized gift? Caseify has got you covered.
Get your Caseify case today and use our code 15HOOT, that's 15 HOOT, on caseify.com, caseify.com, or order via the discount link in our description for the most protective, cool looking, and environmentally friendly case that the internet has to offer.
That's 15% off using code 15HOOT at caseify.com.
And now, back to the episode.
It's awesome.
And it's awesome you sample Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up on it. Mm-hmm. Has Rick Astley given you a nod or been like, dude, I love that you've revived the song in a way? Because it was kind of those ones where, you know, it's Rick rolling, you can't escape it. But now it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
I've
always thought the song was great. And the story is actually a little bit interesting. So we were afraid when we made the song that we would have trouble clearing it. And there's fair enough, because I've been denied on a lot of samples. George Michael, I sampled Careless Whisper at one point, and I had to take it down.
Do you sample pre-asking for clearance?
I used to. Yeah. Before I was signed and everything, and I had a legal team.
Damn. DIY.
But now, but now it's you finish a whole song, and then you have to get it in front of these people, and they might just say no. So it's a whole, you know, time thing, and what I usually do is we'll just make a sample that sounds similar to something we like and just go with make our own, some original. So what we did with the Rick Astley song is we recreated Never Gonna Give You Up almost exactly. So it's not his voice. It's our own instruments. It's our own everything. And my homie's singing on it. And it just sounds enough like it.
Damn.
That we can get away with it.
So, no, but we still had to clear the... It's confusing. We had to clear the publishing. So basically the people who wrote the original song have to clear it, and they can get a good percentage of
the publishing
right. on
but
it.
It's
because
not on the master.
Because we use...
it's a new recording.
It's the same words and the same chord progression and everything. So basically, that doesn't include Rick Astley, because he didn't write it. He just sang it. So he didn't even hear it, I don't think. He was busy on tour. I don't think he even heard it until it was already out. So that's a weird sort of vibe where it's
because you hadn't linked up with him prior.
Yeah, and I was I would have loved to have him on the song and have him be down, but I just I was afraid that he wouldn't be down.
Yeah.
And would just deny it and it'd be a waste of time. So then I didn't, and now the song blew up and I'm I know he's seen it now. All I know is that someone got it in front of him and he said he's a fan of it. He's down with it.
Oh,
he's
hell
cool with
yeah.
it. But it's just a weird way to kind of come at, you know, I'd be like, oh, here, we recreated your song, didn't ask you about it, and here now it's out. But I think he's cool with it. And apparently when he's back from tour, he might hit me up and we can.
Yeah, y'all gotta come out together for the MTV Music Awards or something.
Yeah, Grammys next year.
It's his one time where now it's no longer a joke.
Yeah,
it's he
can be a real. Yeah,
he's
that's
on,
a good point.
Yeah, and he's done cool shit like that before. I know he did a cover with the Foo Fighters at some live show, and I feel like he'll be down. It's what they told me is oh, he's busy right now, and you'll hear back. But I actually got a notification yesterday that. Never Gonna Give You Up just went 5 times platinum yesterday. And I was like, I wonder if I helped
boost.
Out a little bit.
We could check the Google search trends and see if there's a spike out there.
Because people who probably don't know Betty are probably telling their Alexas, Alexa, play that Never Gonna Give You Up thing. And it's just keeps,
damn, dude.
Well, damn. That's awesome. And another thing I wanted to talk about, in the song there's a tiny sample that's actually a line that's pulled from Night of the Living Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, was that intentional? Are you a big Night of the Living Dead fan? Or was that something that...
you know, when I remember when I put that in there, I was like, oh, I need to have some crazy answer. If I was on a random radio show that I didn't care about, I'd probably tell y'all that I was directing a movie called Night of the Giving Head. But that was my sort of thought process. But no, I just found out that movie... But had all these you could sample it for free
it's copyright free because it's that old.
There's something about it, not necessarily, because I think there's some way that they can renew that. There's so many weird legal rules, but that one specifically is one where you can.
And, really? And that whole movie, every line, you could just put into a song and no copyright.
I believe so. I don't want to, don't quote me on that, but I found it on Splice, which is like a website where you can buy little samples.
I love Splice.
And I'd worked with a guy, I actually did a voice acting thing for like a horror podcast, and the guy who wrote it is the same guy who wrote Night of the Living Dead. He's still around, the original. And yeah, he was like 20 then, and now he's a lot older. But like me and him together kind of like wrote this story, and I did this voice acting. I don't know if it's going to drop, when it will, but I literally did like a horror voice acting thing, which you wouldn't expect from me, but I did. And I was like, you know, I want to show us, I want to like kind of, I got weird connections to Night of the Living Dead, and I'm just going to throw this in here. And it fit really well there. I didn't want to like talk there myself. I've always had like these older samples in my music, and I used to do it before I had to clear everything. And then I finally found like some places where I can pull from. So I was like, this is like a nice little, you know, this is like where the, where like the kid on Genius would go and find out all the little facts, you know?
What does scare you though? Are you scared of zombies? Are you scared of vampires, werewolves?
Oh man.
Apocalypse in general.
Dude, hold on. Let me think for a sec. Cause I know that I'm scared of like, I'm not really scared of zombies. I'm not really scared of like spider. I'm scared of sharks. I'm scared of sharks.
I'm scared of the feeling after you get bitten by a shark. That state of shock.
Yeah. Like, it's like swim.
Your arm is just now off. And then you, yeah, you're too scared to do anything about it.
I'm scared of like big open areas of water and like being in like a place like alligators and sharks and like whales and shit like that scare me because like that's not my element. I'm just swimming. I have to be up and I have like a little area I can chill in. I can't go down there. I can't go anywhere. I'm slow. Like, yeah, that just scares me.
Yeah.
Spiders, snakes, I'm good with that. Zombies, all good. I'd survive a zombie apocalypse, I think, at least for a bit.
You got the height advantage.
The height advantage. I got, you know, I could work on my cardio a little bit if I knew it was coming. Yeah.
Have you ever been punched in the face?
Yep.
Can you tell that story?
Yeah, I've been punched in the face a number of times.
Oh, really?
I used to fight people a lot. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, damn. Yeah.
I feel like, were you always as tall as you were?
I was always, I've always been tall, but I wasn't always like, I don't know, I was skinnier back in the day. But I mean, I would say most of the fighting happened like when I was either in college or right early rapper days. And I just have this weird thing where like, I don't know, man, I would just like want to fucking beef with people. Like, it wasn't like I was seeking out just a fight. It was like I would be somewhere and I'd find the person that's being an asshole and being a dick and then like kind of piss them off and get them to swing on me. And then I would fight them because I knew that I could like throw pretty good hands. I don't know. I got over that. I broke my hand one time.
Got that reach.
Yeah. I mean, I got reach and yeah, dude, I just like, I don't know. Especially with frat kids in college. I don't know why I didn't like frat kids, but there was like these really
fucking douchebags.
There was some really douchey ones and I would just like get them pissed off and then just go off
but you broke your hand one time?
I broke my hand crowd surfing in New Zealand. Oh, I was okay. Crowd surfing in New Zealand. Something hit me in the hand really hard and I broke it. But like when I went to the hospital, it was right here. Everyone thought that I had punched somebody because it's like a bone you almost only ever break when you punch somebody. But basically what I learned is that if I break it again, it could fuck my hand up forever and I wouldn't be able to write anymore or anything with my hand. So I haven't fought anyone in years now.
Ended
so
just the boxing career.
Yeah. Just kisses only punches now.
Yeah. Kisses only. But I guess a specific, I'm trying to think of a good story about getting punched in the face. I was at a sorority formal with my good friend. I get in there. We've been in the like the dance thing for like 10 minutes, go in the bathroom. This is kid acting up, being wild, calls my friend a racial slur. I got pissed. I got in his face, blah, blah, blah. He swings on me and I beat his ass and all this. It was beautiful. It was really impressively done. There is a video out there somewhere of that. But anyways, then I remember this punch to the face the most because then after that, the fight got broken up and I'm like, we're like, I'm getting held back by all these dudes in suits and he's getting held back by a bunch of dudes in suits. And he just like breaks free in the middle of the bathroom and the dudes that are holding me don't let go. So I have my arms behind my back and just get punched in the face, like full force. This kid ran at me and just hit me so hard and I was so mad, dude.
Straight up sucker punch, man.
Yeah, sucker punch while my hands are behind my back. And
after
like,
the fight's already like,
after I already the beat his run. Ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I guess, you know, he got something.
Did the guys holding you back? They're like, we're sorry about that.
Dude, it was like, I was so mad, but I was just like, already as a guy, I already beat this dude's ass. Like, and long story short, I ended up going to jail. We both went to jail.
For that fight?
For that fight. Because, like, I don't know, it was like a small town, and it was, they called it assault. And in the end, I got bailed out by my fans because I put up a story in the jail of the kid. The guy filmed him and like I put my camera
up an Instagram
around,
story
in the, on the Young Gravy Instagram story way back when I had like 30,000 followers. I put my camera around a little, like, I don't know. We were in the same little room, like both handcuffed. And I was like, oh dude, what's up, pussy? And like, dude, it was really demeaning. And he started like freaking out, and I posted it on my story. And then these kids figured out that I was in Nevada, Iowa. Not Nevada is the city name, Nevada, Iowa. And they came and bailed me out. And
they just pulled their money together for you?
Yeah. I mean, it was like $400. I think at that time it was a lower, it was just like a ruckus charge or something. Yeah. And then I ended up getting an assault charge, and then I got it dropped because I just got a good lawyer, and it was all good. And then everyone heard the actual story from people, so it worked out just fine.
Did you pay the fans back?
Yeah. I brought them to a couple shows.
Oh, so I brought them 3 shows for life.
I brought them on stage at a few shows. I think I still have one of their numbers.
Damn, yeah. That's awesome.
The way to do it.
Yeah, and they're music. One of them's a musician. I like played his song at a show. Yeah, we got along really well after that.
To take it way back, you worked at a startup accelerator called Generator, if my research proves correct. Yep. Do you still keep in touch, or have you communicated with the boss that you were hiding your rap career from? That said, if you get hired full time, we're moving you to another state, and you were like, "Nah, fuck that. I'm going heads down on rap."
That's the exact story. I was gonna maybe go open the new office in Atlanta or Indianapolis. Those were the options. So that's probably where I would be. I mean, it's been a lot of years, so I would be, you know, doing something similar, but I'd probably be in Atlanta or Indianapolis doing a venture capital type, you know, college kid job. But I do keep in touch. I haven't in a little while, but I've kept in touch with two of them. It was my old like main supervisor and the founder, and it's been cute, man. They've connected me with like I did a little like sort of seminar for this company that they were working with that was like literally giving money to Milwaukee artists to try to like help Milwaukee artists grow. So I gave a little seminar to a bunch of different musicians in Milwaukee through one of those companies, which is really cool. And another one of them linked me up with like her boyfriend in Atlanta that set me up with some cool stuff. So yeah, we've kept in touch. I did a little. I helped out one of their little like jewelry companies with some promotion stuff. So you know, I worked with them for a while, and I love doing it. And they like taught me a lot that I know. So like, I'll do free stuff for them.
Damn, it's a good ending to the story of you being like, I'm moving on with rap, but.
Yeah, they're fans, and yeah, I'm sure that when they, I'm sure they still, you know, bump some gravy sometimes. I hope so.
We all are.
What's the most expensive thing you own or you have bought? Or what do you like to just spend your money on?
The most expensive thing I've bought is probably just my car, which is a Tesla. It's like $100,000, like a souped-up Tesla.
Come a long way since that 03 Honda Civic, right?
Yeah. And I had a Chrysler 300 that I bought for six bands at some sketchy store in Englewood. And I drove that for a while. And then I had that in Minnesota and then the Tesla here. And then I jumped it wrong and killed all the like electricity on it, and like the blinkers wouldn't work. And I gave it to a fan. There's a fan who collected cars, and I gave it to him, and he decked it out in like gravy fan, like spray painted it with gravy stuff. And
damn.
And I signed it all over. It was really cute.
That's sick.
Yeah, like a super fan. So that was cool. That's the Chrysler's in like Denver now. But yeah, so the Tesla, there's not really anything that cool. I might buy a car soon or like a house or something, but I overall save my money aside from like food and drinks and that sort of thing. I love to take my friends out for like a big, like I love to just celebrate things and like go out to like, I love fancy food. That's where I spend probably the most of my money.
Experiences over products.
What's your favorite restaurant in LA?
Favorite restaurant in LA? Oh, dude, I haven't been enough of like the really fancy ones. I really liked Beauty in Essex. I think a lot of people, maybe that's kind of like the go-to answer for some people, but it's like a...
They have one in New York too, original, yeah. And it's like the same outdoor... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What kind of cuisine is it?
So it's like American food, right?
It's like new, I think they call it new American when it's just like crazy fancy things that the chef thought of, but it's really good. Like they had like, you pay like $15 and they give you these little like, it's like a ramen spoon, but it has like... fancy tomato soup, and they have like a little grilled cheese like thing floating in there, and like
Beauty in Essex.
It's good.
Though. It's the logo is like it says Beauty in Essex in a script font, and it's like a bunch of light bulbs inside of it. It looks like an old like Broadway sign.
What side of town is it?
I don't know.
It might be in.
I feel like it's like near the airport, maybe.
No, here it's definitely in Hollywood or West Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been to the New York one too, which was like that's the first one I went to. I like that place a lot. We should all go get some fancy food.
Let's get some dinner. This is making me hungry, man. Yeah.
What's the can you tell us about the ice on your wrist?
Oh, the ice on my wrist. I've had this for quite a while. I got it at Icebox in Atlanta. I don't know if you've seen they do these videos. It's a just like a
kind of a nice little rose gold, like
yeah, it's a casual Rolex with the pink oyster face, which is pretty rare.
I just got a Rolex. My girlfriend got me one. The girl got me a Rolex. It's my first one I've ever had.
It's a banger, dude.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I'm loving it. I'm still trying to like break in the damn band though. It's like so new.
I have an
stiff
Apple Watch that I wear when I go on my walks.
Hey, that's right. Come on.
Would you ever own a Rolex?
One day. I feel like that's like I want a Rolex that someone gives to me. I feel like I don't want to be the guy that buys my own, but because I'm not like cool enough. I mean, but you're like a cool guy. Like
I did it on like a little video. It was a cute little moment behind it. But yeah,
you're also like a famous rapper.
You kind of got to buy some type of
I'm
ice.
I'm just like a Jewish guy from New Jersey. I can't be going out to the Rolex store like being seen. But you have the
Jewish guys from New Jersey are probably own more Rolexes than I know some Jewish guys from New Jersey, and they probably have, a lot of them have more than me.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Inside the Actor's Studio?
No.
All right. It was an older TV show. And
In
the 90s, a lot of famous actors would go on to it, talk about their craft, and they would do it in front of like a live audience. But at the end of every episode, they would ask the same 10 questions to each one of these actors. I know you're not much of an actor, but
I feel like you got chops.
Hey, yeah, I did a voice acting podcast, and I've done some sketches, like comedy sketches with Trevor and like Churdley's. But hey, I mean,
I won't be surprised if you're going to be acting soon, eventually.
I'm scared of it, but I've gotten offers, and I think I just got to bite the bullet and just try it.
Do it, 100% do it.
Well, these aren't acting based; these are pretty broad. But we just want to act them. We just want to ask them, Mike. You want to ask?
So yeah, just 10 questions that. We're just going to ask you. You can take as long as you want. Answer as short or long as you want.
Okay.
First question. What is your favorite word?
I was about to blurt out coochie. I don't know. That was just on my...
it's
on
a
my
word. I mean, not Merriam-Webster word, but I think it's a coochie.
Coochie. It could... I wonder if it is on it. Probably not. I don't know. That just... It just... Not just because like I'm like, oh, like I love pussy or whatever, and I'm like the rapper, but just it's a good... It sounds good. Yeah. It flows off the tongue. I made a song called The Coochie Anthem with Dylan Francis, and it sounds really good.
That's yeah, good. It's like Cellar Door. It's like a melody to it.
It's like Cellar Door.
Coochie. Now, my question for you, the second one, is what is your least favorite word?
My least favorite word is probably giving. I mean, it's kind of not just in any sense of giving. I love giving to people that I love, but when people say, oh, it's giving.
Oh,
like the internet slang.
You know, and it's kind of funny. Like, I say it now, you know, like, hey, this is giving water. It's giving water.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of those, there's a few other examples. Like, oh, not me taking a sip of alcohol on TV.
It's run its course. Like,
it's crazy when you hear people speak in internet language in real life. Like, when you hear someone say, not me taking a sip of Heine, like, you're actually saying this out loud in front of other people. Like,
just spice it up. Switch it up. Yeah. Come up with something different. There's a lot of stuff out there.
Make your own lingo.
It's like no one's saying lol. You know, I feel like our generation kind of learned not to say lol out loud, you know, in person. But, you know, they're doing it.
There are people that will literally go LOL.
Okay, yeah, that's actually really true. Yeah.
Okay, what turns you on creatively, spiritually, emotionally, and the Young Gravy special, I will say, sexually?
Are these four separate?
You can answer them separately or together. Just like when I think like what turns on Young Gravy,
okay,
what comes to mind?
I guess like I'm just thinking about it now as like qualities in like a woman or a person. Just like crazy weird people, like not like crazy, like just like someone who like they'll come to me and say something that makes me laugh, where I'm like, why'd you, like, you know, if I think they're weirder than me or like funnier than me or like remind me of myself in like not a douchey way, but like, you know, like turns me on when I can like, you know, send like my alarm when I wake up in the morning is a song from the 50s. It's a It's called Personality. Do you, can you add it into the podcast after?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Absolutely.
I'll play my morning alarm. It's called Personality by the Pied Pipers. And like, it's, some people would think it's pretty fucking weird when like, I wake up next to a girl and that song plays, but like, I had a girl start singing it the other day, and she said, Personality, and I was like, oh, what's, like, oh, you know, like, if you know this obscure song from, like, 1955 or something, like, that's lit, so, like, you know, little weird things like that.
Absolutely.
We started dancing. What time do you set your alarm for in the morning?
It's different every day. I'm trying to get onto, like, I really want to get onto actual schedule, but, like, I think yesterday I woke up at 7:30, today I woke up at, like, 12. Just because I'm bad at falling asleep. I have a little bit of sleeping problems, but I try to catch some sleep, you know.
Have you tried magnesium?
Magnesium? I have.
Magnesium glycinate, though. Don't get
There's the one that's like helps you poop, and there's one that helps you sleep.
Yeah, okay. Get the magnesium glycinate, because you'll be taking magnesium oxide, and you're going to be waking up in the middle of the night. Like, you got to go.
Magnesium changed my life. Like, truly. It's because a lot of times people will do like melatonin, which is like, something that your body naturally produces, and I'm not a doctor, but by taking melatonin, you're telling your body not to produce it, and then over time you actually get worse at sleeping. But magnesium is just like an element that your body needs as part of like nutrients, and if you take it before you go to bed, it helps you fall asleep and wake up at the right time.
I have this stuff called Calm. Calm?
Yes.
That's
a brand of it, and they might add some other like stuff to it. If you can get like pure magnesium, it might be better, but I'll send you what I use. Cool. It's great.
All right, next question is, what sound or noise do you love?
Sound or noise do I love? Clarinet is my favorite sound.
Ooh. A little Squidward action?
Exactly. Like Squilliam. I love the clarinet, dude. I like, there's certain instruments where producers will like, that I work with a lot, they'll get sick of me always wanting to use them, but like clarinet and like certain types of strings, like a cello, dude, just like something about those gets me off.
The clarinet goes doodle 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 dead.
Is that Michael Bublé?
No, I think it was from the Marvelous Musical Mansion. It was this movie our music teacher would put on.
I like that. Whatever you did.
Yeah, doodle 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 dead.
This kid sings musicals like,
it's not a, this isn't a musical, this isn't Broadway, this is something as a child that just stuck with me.
Do you listen to klezmer music? It's like Jewish folk music, and it's the clarinet is the lead instrument.
Really?
And it's like really energetic. It's like your classic Jewish wedding music. Like, yeah. And it's all clarinet.
Okay. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I need to find a good. I performed at a bat mitzvah recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My first one. And,
damn.
And my DJ and I were thinking about trying to get like remix one of my bigger songs and add like some instruments. Some like, we thought, you know, maybe people wouldn't love it. You know, it might be like a little bit like we're trying too hard to be Jewish. So we didn't. But I found some real good Jewish music.
Damn,
that was sick, dude. Bat mitzvah. That was one. I mean, it was a really, really well off family. Really like well put together, big deal. Like that's probably the fanciest event I've ever been to. It was crazy.
I've never been invited to one.
To a bat mitzvah?
Not bat mitzvah, not a bar mitzvah, nothing.
Should have grown up in New Jersey here.
Yeah, there's not quite as many in Texas, of y'all, or the Midwest. In Texas or Minnesota.
Have you been to a bar or a bat mitzvah before, or that was your first time being at
no,
one?
No. I think I knew one kid growing up that had one. I didn't get invited, and I was pissed.
Same here. Didn't get invited. He invited all the hot girls. I didn't get the invite.
When my kids have their bar and bat mitzvah, you will both be on the list.
Let's go.
Hey. And you won't be working. You'll just be hanging. No, all right, cool. No pressure to perform. What sound or noise do you hate?
There's this new dog that my roommate got that barks way too much. It's a husky. It's the cutest fucking dog ever.
Huskies, though, man. They'll hit some pitches. It is
so annoying. So there's this dog that barks all the time and bites me. But, like, you know, I don't want to hate because I think that she's going to become cooler and I want her to see this when she grows up. but like, Kaya kind of pisses me off when she makes those noises. I think just, like, there's that one alarm that a lot of people have. You know, that one alarm sound where it's like a abrasive one.
It's like the...
Like the alarm sound, like
ones. Yeah, there's one that's really common on like iPhones. That's just like some people choose it, and it's like the most. I don't know.
Oh yeah,
it's kind of like a boring answer, but I think that is.
Well, aside it's from an the honest new, answer.
Yeah. I was gonna ask you about your favorite song because that's like sort of a risk. Where if you set your like not your favorite song, but a song that you like as your alarm, do you feel like an anxiety rush or like a bunch of adrenaline when you hear it out in the world because it's like the thing you wake up to, or are you still in love with the song even though it's your alarm?
It's weird. I've had a number of different ones over the years. Well, I use a lot of times a song will be my alarm for a year or two or longer, you know, without me changing it. I don't know how you guys do that, but it's always a song, and I think most of those I don't think I ever really got sick of them. I think all those songs I still listen to a lot. There was Ginseng Strip by Young Lean, which got, I know it blew up on TikTok recently.
That was your alarm at 7:30 in the morning?
That was my alarm like years and years ago because I was a huge fan of him on SoundCloud. And it starts with this like Japanese singing sample. It's like, nah, nah, nah. And my girlfriend at the time would freak out every time. But I loved it because it just got me hyped for the day. Yeah, man, I've had a lot. I don't think I've ever gotten sick of them. And personality specifically, the one I currently have, that alarm, dude, I get stuck in my head in the morning. I'm happy all morning. I'm singing it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good life.
The next question is, what is your favorite curse word?
Oh, shit. Well.
Oh, shit.
I say shit a lot. Maybe. I've tried to start saying bitch less. I think bitch was just a good. It just fit well, like. Not like addressing women as bitches, but just using that word bitch. Like that was
one syllable. The B and the sh.
In music, I would use bitch a lot. And I've turned that down a little bit. I like shit. I like calling people cowards.
Cowards.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, that's a powerful word. Yeah. You know? And like when you address someone as coward, they're not forgetting that. You know.
Okay. Next question is: what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Man, I think it'd be really cool to either be like a chef or like a movie director, but both of them I would want to make sure I'm like sick at it before I even try. Kind of like with rap, like I would go into hiding and learn everything about it.
Yeah,
yeah, lurk off into the shadows, not release music for 4 years, and then come back, open a restaurant where we air movies.
Have you been watching The Bear?
The Bear
on Hulu. It's really good. Did you watch Shameless at all?
I haven't watched that many.
It's
TV
that main
shows.
Kid from Shameless. It takes place like in Chicago. Of this kid opening up like a beef sandwich like shop, and he's been trained under like the best chef in the world or whatever. It's pretty good.
It's like a restaurant show.
Yeah, that could be up your alley if you're into like directing and food.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Pretty damn good.
Okay,
I used to own a restaurant in New York City. So if you ever decide to get into the biz, I can give you some pointers.
The burlap sack, right?
You owned a restaurant? You liked it?
It was really cool, but when you own a restaurant, it's like for your first one, it's the only thing you can do. Like,
that
you have to be
sense.
There all the time.
Yeah.
There's always some shit to do. There's always someone trying to, like, pull a fast one on you. There's always a problem you got to solve. Yeah. So you got to be there. Like, and I was like, well, I guess you're 26 now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was like your age when I opened it. So it was just like, it was cool at the time to, like, you know, hang out with somebody, be like, hey, you want to come to my restaurant after drinks? And it's like, you just open the door to a restaurant after hours. But it's a lot of work and definitely really time intensive. So if you're going to do it, you know, just prepare for that.
But I think more realistically for me, like when I'm done making music, I think I'd be really good at something sort of in like the like bar or like liquor realm. Like I've actually talked to a number of people or in companies about like dropping some sort of drink. In college, my friend and I had the idea of doing like we had this idea of let's market this towards women and let's make sort of like a Seagram's that's a little bit more sweet that doesn't have any calories and it has liquor in it. And then we didn't have any money to do it. And then 2 years later, White Claw drops.
Oh,
and I'm
yeah.
like, fuck, man. I was like, dude, like, yes. Like, I've had, and there's been a number of other ideas. I mean, I know that they dropped like the coffee liquor drinks at one point that didn't really pop off, but that was another thought that we had. I think doing something like that, or maybe opening a bar, but not like doing all of the work for it. Like, I'd hire somebody to do a lot of
that. I've thought about that with when seltzers and like White Claws were popping off. I'm like, they need to make like a masculine looking one, because like a lot of them were just really feminine looking. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, they made Happy Dad.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I was talking about.
Oh, that's, I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I thought it was a beer. Yeah, it's a seltzer, isn't it?
It is a seltzer.
Still got that startup accelerator brain working.
Yeah. Hey, sharks.
Yeah,
okay, and then my next question is,
jump to the last one here.
Okay, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
What's poppin', Greg? No, I don't know. Something cool. Awesome.
That's a great response.
Something that one of my homies would address me as. You know, something that I would hear from a friend rather than like a really official. Like, I don't want to have to start talking like a different person now that I'm in Jesus land, you know?
Yeah. So you're about to go on a whole nother leg of the tour, right? Or you're about to leave town?
I'm leaving town just for like some press stuff in New York, and I got a few college shows this month and next month. Every like September, October, and like March, April, I do a lot of college stuff. And then, but I'm not really doing like a full, I'll be back and forth, but doing a full, I'm going to be doing a full tour with Baby No Money in November, December.
Baby No Money is like your producer and you guys do a shoot.
Rapper that I work with a lot. There's a few songs I'm sure you guys recognize.
And you're doing two projects right now. You have like your album, which is basically done. And then you have, was it Gravy Baby 3?
Baby Gravy 3. Which is, so Baby No Money and I, he's this rapper. We've done a lot of songs together. Like some of my biggest ones, like Whip a Tesla and Welcome to Chili's. His biggest song that you guys have probably heard, he's like, did I really just forget that melody? When I popped off, da-na-na-na-na.
Yeah.
It almost has like a billion streams on Spotify. It's huge. That's one of my best friends. We've been working together for 6 years. So we're doing a tour, like a co-headline tour in October and November. November, December. Yeah.
That's exciting. Hopefully we'll catch you on one of those dates. Do you like Lestra?
Lestra.
Is he the CEO at business.net?
Oh, it's Lentra.
Oh, is it Lentra? Lentra. My bad. Shit. Lentra, well, I know him as CEO at business.net. But for those beats, but then he goes by this other like title. Yeah. I don't listen to those a lot, but like I feel like
Lentra and Baby No Money are like I think they're born on the same day. They like grew up together and like he produces a ton of Baby No Money stuff. And when we work together, Lentra's produced a few songs for me that we've done together.
Damn.
And like, yeah. So I know that did well.
Oh, we love that song, Buttercup.
Oh, yeah.
Buttercup.
Yeah? Fuck yeah. Yeah, stuff. So it's like him and their other boy, Jungle Bobby, and Baby No Money. All three of them like do a ton of stuff together. They all live in Vancouver. They live together. They're like, yeah.
Ah, shit. I didn't know, yeah, y'all had all these connections. I just like, I don't know. Ever since like listening to you, he always comes in my head and I'm just like.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of, shared
a
little.
A lot of some stuff in the same vein. Mm-hmm. Well, awesome, man.
Is there anything else you want to plug, shout out, give a...
You guys kind of covered it. Yeah, man. My album is going to be dropping in September. And,
do you have an official date?
I don't have an official date, but okay. I know it's going to be, that's that month. I already told him, I'm like, we can't change it. Don't you dare. I told my label that. So it's going to be in September. I don't know the exact date.
How are you going to celebrate? You going to have like a release party or anything?
I should. I didn't even think about that yet, but I should. I'm really excited for it. It's my favorite album I've made so far. We're finishing up the vinyl designs and stuff right now. It'll be sick.
Vinyl designs, man.
It's sick, man.
Do you go to like vinyl factories and they already got it like a fake one printed out and you just
It's mostly all like remote. Like I've done it for a few past ones and like just my art guy and I get together and like go off on it.
Oh, I had another question. Where were you the first time you ever heard your music but you weren't playing it? Like have you ever been in a store and like you heard it playing?
Was it a stoplight? And it was a while back. It was before I'd shown my face anywhere, and they were playing one of my like more obscure songs loud in like a nice car, and I was in my shitty little Honda, and I was like, I noticed right at the last minute I didn't have any chance to like yell and be like, yeah, that's me, but like it was in Madison, Wisconsin.
Wow.
Yeah. That was crazy. That's gonna
be a wild moment.
Way early, and I was like, "Bro, like the chances are so low that they have me playing that song." And at that time, because I was mad low key. But now, I don't know. There's been a lot of really cool ones, like when they play it at like sports stadiums and stuff like that. That gets me hyped.
Shit, that's gonna be a cool feeling.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Well, thanks for coming on Hoot and a Half. It was an honor to have you here,
Matt. It was so great. We got to hang out more. You should come to the Zila thing.
Okay.
Well, let's not give away too much details. Yeah.
It'll be over by the time this comes up.
Okay.
All right, cool. We're heading this weekend. Guys, thank you so much for tuning into this episode. Be sure to check out Matt, a.k.a. Young Gravy, everywhere and anywhere he is on the internet. Listen to his jams. He's the best. Matt, thank you so much for coming on, man.
Thank you. Thanks, y'all.
All right. Take care, guys. Bye.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.